Galatians chapter 4, we begin reading God's word at verse 12. This is God's holy, infallible word. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it. It was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first, and though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose. And not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. This is God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and eternal word. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our study in Galatians brings us to this passage in which we find the Apostle Paul in a tender, emotional, and a heartfelt moment when he appeals to the congregation at Galatia to return to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to reject the teaching of the false prophets who desired to add something to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's appeal in this portion of his letter gives a great deal of light on that relationship that existed between him and the congregation, and by application that exists between those who proclaim the gospel and those who hear it. And Paul instructs us, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, on how the pastor and the congregation are to focus their hearts together on the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and how the ultimate goal is that Christ is to be formed in the lives of those who hear God's Word. So there are two things I'd like to point out in the passage that we have before us this morning. First, that God's people must listen for the message of Jesus Christ through the ministry of the servant of God, but then the servant of God also is addressed in this passage, and he must look for the work of God and Christ in the hearts and in the lives of the people of God and see, as he in the 19th verse says, Christ formed in God's people. So first of all, let's look at what Paul emphasizes as he speaks of the listening that must take place for the message of Jesus Christ. He reminds his friends in Galatia that he preached to them. He recalls to them that, you know, I preached to you at first, even with a bodily ailment. And verse 14, he says, that condition, whatever that might have been, was a trial to you, but you didn't scorn or despise me because you received me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. In other words, they received him as a messenger of the Word of God. The Word of God was more important than the servant of God. That's what Paul is really saying here. He was able to preach, even though he had whatever this bodily ailment was. Lots of ink is spilled in commentaries speculating on what he might have been referring to, as is the case in that other passage, you know, where he says, I beseech the Lord three times that he would take this thorn from me. And everybody goes, what's the thorn? You know, it could have been this, it could have been that. It's all speculation. That's not the point. The point is that besides the fact that there was this issue, bodily ailment, as verse 13 says, and that was some cause for the people perhaps to be put off, not to listen to him, we don't know what it was, but Paul says, you look beyond that and you did what you were supposed to do. You listened to the message. And Paul says, you listened to the message because it was the Word of God. It was the Word of life. And it's the Word of God that brings life. It's not the minister or the messenger. Eternal destiny is bound up with the word of God that is preached and proclaimed. The incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is present with his word and power by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's servant, whether it's the Apostle Paul or anyone who proclaims the truth of God's word, must do just that, proclaim God's word. And so the test of one's faithfulness ultimately comes not in the size of a church or how much work is done or anything else. The test of the faithfulness of the servant of the word is always, is his doctrine, what he preaches, in agreement with the word of God? Is he bringing God's word? That was what the strength of the Reformation was. When the Reformation began to blossom, as we remember that taking place 500 years ago this month, and as those Reformation teachers began to go back to the Word of God and open the Word of God and teach the Word of God, it was the Word of God and its power through the Holy Spirit that opened the hearts of people and blazed the trail for the gospel through the continents of this world that had not taken place yet to that point. The servants of God were bringing God's Word. And the people that were listening, if they were listening correctly, had to have the right question in mind. And that right question is this: does what that person preaches measure up to the standard of the truth as it's found in the Word of God? Now, I would suggest to you that you could take that measuring tool, device, standard. Does what is spoken from the pulpit measure up with the Word of God and apply it not only to my preaching, but to anyone's? To anyone who would stand and proclaim God's Word, you should be asking, is that really what the Word of God is saying? And that's what Paul is saying to this congregation. I preached the gospel to you. Because he preached the gospel, they received him. Not because he was a super preacher, a personality, someone who was popular, but because the message that the Apostle Paul preached was the message of the Word of God, the message of salvation. Calvin said the first use of the Word of God is to bring salvation to humanity. That's what the purpose of God's word is. God gave us his word to speak to us and to communicate to us so that we might hear the message of salvation and that we might then be saved. And so the servant of God then comes with the job and the task of bearing the word of God to the people of God. Faithful servants bring the word of God and it becomes a joy for God's people. The people of God should know that joy that comes from hearing God speak through his word, through his servant. And the servant of God is commissioned to preach God's word, not his word, God's word. Paul said, "You received my message with joy." They didn't go because, "Oh, the Apostle Paul's in town. We've got to go hear him. I heard he's a popular guy. He's got a radio ministry. He's got a TV ministry." Well, I guess he didn't. A little early for that. But, you know, popularity. "Oh, the Apostle Paul. He had a few miracles. We heard about them. Maybe he'll do another one." I bet you that was part of some of the stuff. But, you know, I think the Galatians had it right. And Paul said, "You had it right. You heard the word of the gospel and it brought you joy." Because they heard the gospel, not Paul per se. They heard the gospel through Paul. They were listening with listening ears for what God had to say to his people, and faithful servants will bring that word of joy, and then it's a word of truth. It's the truth of God that's going to be the blessing for God's people. And the faithful servant of God, here the Apostle Paul, or anyone who is called to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaim the word of God, has got to be faithful to all of the truth of God, even to the painful truths. Paul says in this passage, he says in other places, the Word of God was painful at times. Why is the Word of God painful? Well, it addresses some areas of our lives we would rather not have people monkeying around with, right? We would rather not have that sore opened and exposed. But God's Word does just that. It comes and it exposes that so that it might rid us of it, that we might find in the beautiful work of the Lord Jesus Christ that forgiveness and that grace that we need, and it only comes through the preaching of God's Word. And Paul said, am I now your enemy for telling you the truth? I'm just telling you the truth, but have I become your enemy? It's almost like saying, you know, I was at the doctor, and I was at the doctor this week a number of times with some visits, and I don't blame the doctor for giving a bitter medicine or a bad diagnosis or an unpopular thing. You know, is it his fault when you get that from the doctor and he says, you've got this problem? You know, who's got the problem? It's not the doctor. He didn't give it to you. You have the problem. You go to the doctor to get rid of the problem if possible. You don't say, well, I didn't like the fact that he told me I have to lose weight or anything else. You don't blame the doctor. You don't break the mirror when you get up in the morning and then there's that one morning you look in the mirror and you see one too many wrinkles. Do you break the mirror? No, of course not. The mirror is just reflecting what's there. Paul says, I'm just telling you what's there. Have I become your enemy? The authority of the Word of God does not cease when we step into those areas of unpopular truths. Unfortunately, as Luther said, it is commonly seen in the world that truth brings hatred. And he is accounted an enemy who speaks the truth. But among friends, it is not so, much less among Christians. And I think Luther might have maybe changed that a little in some of the churches that he worked with, because even among Christians sometimes there are those who really just don't want to hear the truth. But remember, Paul says in Ephesians that we are to tell the truth, Ephesians 4:15. Here in this passage, he emphasizes the need to tell the truth, to bring the truth of God to bear upon the lives of God's people. And if your eyes are fixed on Christ, then you'll hear that message, even that harsh word that speaks to things in your life that need to change. You'll hear it with joy, because you'll realize that it's the truth that changes your heart, the truth that nourishes your soul, the truth that brings sanctification and holiness to you. It's not your association in the church with people that you seem to like, or the church that you go to, or pastors that preach nice messages, but it's that you hear what God says, and through that message of the Word of God applied to your heart, you see the truth taking root in your life and the need to change. And when your heart is changed by the truth of God, you give thanks and there's joy that comes, because you know you are now being made into what Paul says here and what he says in Romans. We're being made into that image of Jesus Christ. That's what God is doing. He is making us into the image of his Son. That's going to take a lot of work in our lives, because some of the bad things have to fall off in order for the image of Jesus Christ to shine through. But if our eyes are on Jesus, our relationship to God's Word will be a beneficial relationship. Our relationship to the servant of God will not be like that of the Galatians, who didn't want to hear the truth any longer. And Paul had to say, have I become your enemy? He said, I'm just telling you the truth. If your eyes are on Christ, you will want the truth. You will want it like the prophet Jeremiah speaks of it in that chapter in which he speaks of the word like a hammer and the word like wheat. Wheat that nourishes and strengthens. And that's for not only the congregation, but for pastors too. And Paul is speaking here of the need for hearing the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. There should be a great desire in the hearts and the lives of God's people to hear God's Word. hear it in the light of what's said, in the light of what's written in Scripture, and like the Bereans, search the Scripture to see whether those things are so. The second thing I think Paul emphasizes in our passage is that as the servant of God, he was looking for the image of Jesus Christ in the people to whom he preached. The pastor in his case, in our case as well, in the case of every pastor, must discern the needs of the people of God in the light of the Word of God and speak God's Word to those needs and proclaim God's truth. Paul says here he longed to see Christ formed in them. He even uses this image of childbirth. I don't know if it strikes you a little odd or funny, but he says he's in childbirth, or the anguish of childbirth. And the ladies are all saying, he's what? You get the idea of the, but you get the idea of the image, don't you? Paul says, I'm in the anguish of childbirth. He uses that to underscore and express the desire that he has, how strong it is with pain, so that they become conformed to the image of Christ. He's willing to go through that anguish, that struggle, so that what might come forth is children who are born in the image of Christ. That's rare among churches and ministers today. There are lots of ministries and programs that want to build ministries and programs and the platform of the minister who is the head of that program. But Paul says we need to be zealous for good purposes, not for our personal purposes. And the one singular purpose for which the minister of the gospel should labor is that Christ should be formed in the people of God. A Christ-like maturity through the preaching of the word and the application of the word to the souls of God's people. Maturity in Christ is our goal as we shepherd the people of God, as we nourish the people of God in the green pastures of his word, as we teach God's word. Christ formed in the heart. That's what Paul was saying here. He didn't want a bunch of Paul groupies. Remember that word from the 60s and on into the 70s? You know, they were the ones who would go, oh, so-and-so is over at this arena, let's go there. And the groupies would come, and that's how all these rock concerts got such an amazing following. And then now today, to really show that you're a groupie, you have a t-shirt that says, I was at such and such a rock concert in 1968, 1970, 1972. You know, it's got all the dates on it. And, you know, all that shows is that you got too much money to spend on things that are kind of worthless. Groupies. Oh, this pastor or this speaker, oh, he's so interesting. He's got so many jokes, or he's got this or that or the other. No, Paul says, I labor among you so that Christ is formed in you, so that when you hear God's word, you apply it to your hearts. Christ formed in them. He fed the flock of God. He gathered the lambs. He, like a shepherd, would seek what is lost, binds up the broken, prays and weeps with God's people. The pastor is looking for the growth in the people of God that comes from the people of God that are involved in the word and provides the training for them that they need in that word so that they grow. You need training. If you're going to be an athlete, you need to train. That's kind of where I fell a little bit short, a lot short. Never made it on a basketball team or anything, but besides the fact that I didn't have the skills, I didn't have the training. But if you go to those basketball games and you see the athletes, for instance, in basketball who are really good, they don't just perform, you know, in front of you. They've spent hours and days and months and years in training daily. Training, training, training. No matter what athlete, whether it's basketball or anything else, good training, you know this, is what makes good athletes. And the pastor must provide the people with the necessary ingredients for nourishment to have Christ take shape in them by bringing them the training in God's word. The training that Paul speaks of in 2 Timothy 3, where he says all scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for instruction and teaching and doctrine and correction and training, it's the word, in righteousness. The word of God is the thing that's going to make us grow and be like Christ, not attending a church or whatever, not going to hear someone speak, but hearing God's word, applying God's word, studying God's word, discerning God's word, and then saying, this is a word from God, and I need to do what God says, and he's spoken to me in this word. It's a word that teaches me. It's a word that reproves me and warns me of error and danger when my life is going this way and God says, you should be going that way. It's a word of correction when I'm on the wrong path. God puts me on the right path through his word, and he strengthens me by discipline and righteous living and in holy living by the training that comes from God's word. And that's why we say, study God's word, memorize God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word is that which alone is able to bring the growth in grace and in the likeness of Jesus Christ that we are called to be in God's word. And that's what the pastor must look for in the lives of God's people. Are you growing in the word? Are you hearing the word? Are you applying the word? Are you just kind of listening and putting in your time and smiling and going on your way, as so often is the case today in so many social churches where the message is so watered down that it could have been given at the Rotary Club just as well, because it not only left out Christ, but it just put in a good moral story, three jokes, and it was under 20 minutes, so people are happy and they could go home. The church has degenerated today to the need for another reformation like we had 500 years ago, where we are brought back, like Paul says here, to this central truth of the Word of God and the necessity of the Word of God and relying on the Word of God for growth in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Paul did that not because he wanted the people to be like him and resemble him. Remember, he used that image. I want you to be formed in the image of Christ. God, in writing through the apostle in another place, Romans 8:29, says that God has predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. We need those who will weep with those who weep, plead and pray for those who need to be shaped, molded, directed, guided, and blessed by the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only instrument that's going to take the hearts and the lives of God's people and conform them to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that's God's work. He uses the pastor. He used Paul merely as a tool. And I'm sure if Paul said, I was a tool, and used those words, he would probably have said, I'm a tool that's kind of got a few nicks and scratches or dents or maybe it's a crack or something. Not the beautiful tool. He says, I had this bodily ailment, but though my condition was a trial to you, you got the message. Paul said, I wasn't the 100% athletic guy everybody came to listen to. Maybe it was hard to listen to him. We don't know what it was. Maybe he had a hard time seeing. There's allusions to eyesight problems in places that Paul writes. We can speculate until the cows come home or whatever. We'll never know absolutely for sure until we come to glory. But we do know that Paul said, in spite of that, the precious word of God was what you heard and what is useful in your life for helping you to feast on Christ and to keep your eyes upon him. So ultimately, what should matter to the people of God is not Paul's appearance, the pastor's appearance, but is Christ speaking his word through his servant? Am I hearing Christ's word? What should matter to the pastor is not the people's approval, whether they like the pastor, but whether Christ is being formed in them, shaping and molding their hearts and lives as they hear the ministry of the word and the Spirit of God takes that word and applies it to their lives. And the church needs to listen to the word and the ministry of the word and hear that message of Christ. The church needs pastors today who will look for the image of Christ in the people of God, and together both church and pastor must keep their eyes upon Christ alone, not on each other, not on themselves, but focus hearts and lives on the Christ of Scripture revealed in Scripture. He alone will give us that which is needed to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior. He alone is that which we need, and he is given to us in his word. Thank the Lord for that. Hear his word. Receive his word. Hunger for his word. Love his word. And follow that word. And God's blessing will rest upon that word in your life. Because that's God's program revealed here in this passage and all throughout his word. Follow, hear, and receive that word today. Amen.